meeting will be conducted following parliamentary procedure. This council uses its own rules of order as well as Borneo's rules of order. Director McLeod, staff review and comments.
Yes, Mayor Norman, just a brief background. The municipalities received an application to enter into a development agreement that would allow for the conversion of an existing 7-unit fixed roof overnight accommodation to a multiple unit residential dwelling. The property is located at 6755 Highway 3 in Hunts Point. The property is located in a hamlet core zone under the region's land use bylaw. The hamlet core zone does not permit multiple unit dwellings with more than 4 units as of right, but our municipal planning strategy does contain policy whereby council can consider such requests through a development agreement process. The municipal planning strategy contains policy respecting the content of potential content of a development agreement, as well as a number of items that council takes into consideration when evaluating development agreement proposals. The Municipal Government Act, which we operate under, sets out the procedure for entering into development agreements, and part of that process is council holding a public hearing process to get the views of the public on such proposals, hence the meeting here today. So some considerations, I guess the area in Hunts Point is a mix of low density residential and commercial businesses. As I indicated earlier, there's an existing 7-unit fixed roof overnight accommodation that is located on the subject property. There's 9 parking stalls that are associated with the existing development. There is no change. It's intended to change the use of the existing building. It's not to change the actual physical development of the property. So no change in the footprint of the existing building. So there's a couple of options for council's consideration. Staff has reviewed the application and feels that adequate provisions can be incorporated within a development agreement to mitigate potential impacts on the surrounding community as well. Planning advice.
Could you speak louder? I see people.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. So staff has viewed or evaluated the application and feels that significant or adequate terms can be put within the development agreement to allow for the incorporation of this development agreement for this change of use. And as well, Planning Advisory Committee has evaluated the application and recommended in favor of moving forward with the development agreement.
Thank you. The floor is now open for comments. Anyone wish to comment?
Good morning. My name is Danielle Robertson. I live in Port Jolly.
Civic address.
My civic address in Port Jolly is 35 Robertson Loop, Port Jolly. I own a business, Port Jolly General Store Limited, which owns the property directly across from the property under question here. Before I say anything, I think it's pretty important to say that if Hurricane Fiona had veered a couple hundred kilometers west of her track, we would not be having this hearing today, because the building in question, if it was still there, would be severely damaged. The land on which it is sitting, which has been infilled, would possibly not be there. So my family has lived or occupied the property across the road from the property in question for 50 years exactly this year. My father ran a business and we lived there. And focus when we get up every morning was on that property. So for 50 years, I've been watching the comings and goings of storms. And there's been some significant storms. The Groundhog Day storm of 76 was probably the worst, where I don't remember this, but my mother said this, the water actually came across the road onto our store property. There was the perfect storm of 91, which was the biggest sea storm I remember, and I have photos that people can see. The water did breach the property in question. If you know and see the little white cottages there, they're built on stilts because the water comes underneath them. Used to come underneath them. Dorian was also a significant storm where rocks were thrown on decks. It inundated the property in question. So there were lots of incidents over the years where there was damage and the water did breach this property. So that being said, it's in a flood zone. It's in an ocean flood zone, whether people want to realize it or not. And in fact, if you don't want to take the my story and my photos, the region of Queens in 2014 did a municipal climate change action plan. And in that action plan, there were hazards and locations identified. So this was 2014. Hunts Point in that area was identified under three sections of hazardous under this plan. Under the sea level rise, it was identified as a property that was threatened and hazardous. Under storm surge, it was identified as an area of concern. And under erosion, it was also identified as an area of concern. So the property in question, as identified by the Municipal Climate Change Action Plan of 2014, is in a hazardous area for erosion, storm surge, and climate change. So that's been identified by the municipality itself. So now that we've determined that it is in a storm surge ocean flood zone, the building is already there. It makes no difference to me personally or on a business level whether this building remains as an Airbnb or whether it's converted into condos. It will have no impact on my business or me personally. Financially, it makes no difference because if it does become condos, many of the condo owners, they're so small, they're not going to live there. They're going to timeshare and they're going to rent them out as Airbnb and possibly stay there part of the year. So it's going to basically be the same one way or the other. But first of all, it's a dangerous thing to create. If anybody has watched the news since Fiona, the big thing in the province and in our area is our homes that are in flood zones, do you rebuild them? At this stage, should we really be creating homes in an ocean flood zone? These people are going to lose their homes. They're going to possibly have damage to their properties. It's going to put lives at risk. It's a very bad time to be creating homes in an ocean flood zone. These unsuspecting people that are going to buy the condos, they don't know that they're in a flood zone. Are the real estate agents going to tell them? Who's going to tell them? It just seems very counterproductive to be creating homes in a flood zone. Not only that, when we review the municipal planning strategy that the region has created, it says right in here that when you're changing the use of a property, rezoning, When evaluating development agreements, council must be cognizant of the overall goals and policies of the municipal planning strategy. In particular, it should have regard to the criteria listed in policy 6-21. So policy 6-21 states the council shall not amend the land use bylaw or approve a development agreement unless council is satisfied that the proposal C is not premature or inappropriate due to site-specific climate change risks. This property is clearly a site-specific climate change risk. It's been identified by the region's own climate change plan. It's well known by all local people that it's in a zone, it's an area for site-specific climate change risk. So in fact, if the council approves this, they're in violation of their own regulations. And they're in violation of what this municipal planning strategy lays out when changing, which is what we're here today to talk about, changing the use of the zoning of a special property. So it seems to me pretty clear that this, not because of anything that I personally care about, because as I said, it makes no difference to me on a personal level what happens to this property now. But so entering into this agreement and allowing the zoning to be altered contravenes the regulations for changes set out in the management plan strategy. It ignores the warnings established by the municipal's own climate change plan, and I really don't see how it can go ahead. In all fairness, I'm not sure how council can go ahead and agree to the changes when they're creating homes, not just apartments that are rented to tourists, but homes in an ocean flood zone that they've identified themselves. And they're also contravening the municipal planning strategy because it is a site-specific climate change risk. So thank you very much.
Ms. Robertson. Is there another speaker?
Hi, my name's Kevin Page, and I live at 4 Beach Hill Road, which is directly across from the property in question. As with Danielle, it doesn't really affect our property as far as views or anything, but my question to you today, and actually I have to read this because my wife wrote it out to me. Would a proposal for a multiple unit dwelling have qualified under the same permits granted for a commercial tourism bill? Units for this building were listed with a real estate company many months ago. I can't remember when, I'm sure I can look back and see, prior to any of this coming about, while finishing touches were being put on the premises, and it sort of indicated that the intent all along was for the owners to sell these. So that would be my question, is how can it qualify, how can it be acceptable now when it wasn't before? So thank you.
Morning, Mayor, Councilors, and visitors. My name is David Hoskins, living on 160 Church Street in Liverpool, as of now. I would like to know if there are 7 units or 6 units. Posted a year ago, 1 unit was sold. So is it 6 or 7? On the real estate that listed that had been sold. So what are we selling, 7, looking at 7 units or 6 units? Okay. One lady spoke about the tides and things. I've lived in Hunts Point for 50-something years, and I've seen a lot of different things. So my concern is parking. You only have so much had to build it possibly back further. You only have so much room for parking, and that every property is sold, six or seven, every vehicle, every owner owns two vehicles. If one is an SUV, the other one a truck with the four door and an 8-foot box, where's people gonna walk? Or where are these imaginary bicycle lanes? They're gonna be on the highway. So I think they should be looking at that, someone should be looking at the Department of Highways also. I know I had to, I had a business. I had signs up, they recommended that I had signs that it was a business. I don't see no signs in the last year of a, and that is a very dangerous hill. I've walked it many a times. Okay, now let me get, and then you got the facility across the road that is a store, or gonna be open, I think, this summer. You got the mailboxes, and you've got Beach Hill Road there, people going up, people coming down, they're hauling pulpwood, trucks are coming over them, and that hill, like I said before, is very dangerous. I've seen a lot of things in the 50-something years that I've been living there. Okay. With the new housing unit, there is the same as, is that they put them up, but they could have put houses there that they wouldn't have been allowed. Now they want to make them houses because they're going to be the same as a house if they're properly owned. It looked like to me that they bought the cart before the horse. Thank you very much, and I hope the councilors really look at this. Thank you.
It's a bit extraordinary, but there is one question that I would like to clear up, and that is the misconception that at the point in time of the build, that the apartments could not have been built. At the time of the build, the planning land use bylaws of the time had no restriction on the amount of apartments which could have been built on that property. So had the property been able to hold a dozen apartments, there would have been a dozen apartments. It's only at this point in time, because of our new land use bylaws, that restricted to four or less. More than four requires a development agreement. However, at the time of the build, there was no restriction on the amount of housing units that could have been built at that site. Am I correct in that, Director McLeod?
That's correct.
Could I speak again, please?
Yes.
Okay, when I started the business, I looked and checked about zoning. Everything was good. I had a letter that I could do whatever, not whatever I want to do. But now, when did this bylaw come up in the new bylaw in housing and things?
The new bylaws were adopted in the spring of this year, which is the reason the applicant has to make application if he wishes to convert to more than four apartments. As it currently stands, had he wished to convert that building into four apartments, we would not be here. It's only because he wishes more than four that it's by development agreement.
Yes. They could have built houses if they wouldn't have been allowed.
Are
120. We're trying to capture the horses and try and close the barn door after the horses have all been escaped, because that building should never have been allowed. Rules or no rules, common sense should have applied. There's no setback, there's all sorts of things, but currently asking for the condominiums, as the gentleman said, where are they going to park? There's no parking. There's hardly any land around for the people to walk on except the beach. What about the septic system? I know other individuals with individual properties who've gone through hell and back getting permission to have a septic system. When I bought my house 20 years ago, there is a big mound in the back where the septic, that's part of the septic system. Where did they get water? The coastal laws, we've known for many years now that the province was working on laws. They passed the guidelines. They haven't passed the rules yet. But we know they're coming. And common sense says that you look at that little tiny strip of land right on the beach, sandy ground underneath, there's no way that's going to be safe. And if there was a grandfather clause used, taking two little cottages and knocking them down and then putting the whole land together to make the footprint, and then putting multi-story building on top, that's not the principle of the grandfather clause. That's way overdoing the footprint, because the number of people involved has increased multiply. I contacted the Insurance Bureau of Canada and asked about how the heck they got insurance to build. Well, apparently you don't have to have insurance except for fire. And as the Insurance Bureau of Canada says, almost no insurer in Canada offers coastal flooding or storm surge insurance. And that means that, as with Fiona, if there's damage, what's going to happen? People are going to come to the governments, either the municipal or the provincial, and say, help. And money from citizens who have much common sense to build further away are going to be paying for all the damage and all the ridiculousness of this. Voters are elected to represent the people and to make decisions on behalf of people. Who is this decision of benefiting? It's not benefiting local people. It's not benefiting the government in the future in connection with payouts.